I want to be really, let me be upfront with you. I did take a little edible before this because I just thought I needed it.
Weed's probably starting to hit, am I right?
That's going to be the cold open.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Please.
Love that. Yeah.
Did you feel this week like wrestling was kind of like personally attacking you a little bit sometimes?
Pretty much constantly.
Like,
yeah.
It felt like a Final Destination situation where like some kind of evil was just like repeatedly coming at me over.
Oh my God.
You know, I watched those movies for the first time like last year. I watched like three in a row and I was like, wow, this is amazing because they have created a premise that doesn't make sense. And then every movie, they have to come up with a new set of rules to explain the premise that doesn't make sense. That is really, that's so special and amazing. I had a great time.
I watched them when I had like a very malleable like preteen brain, and it really like it shaped a lot of my conceptions of the universe. I'm like, oh yeah,
no. Oh.
Like, sometimes you know, like Phaedrus is like, you can't do this, and I'm doing everything to keep you from doing it. And I'm like, you gotta listen.
So that's like all the obstacles that we had thrown in our way for the podcast.
That's exactly
tonight.
It.
That's what you're saying.
Listen, it is Friday night. We changed our recording. We got emotionally battered by this entire week. Allie's voice turned into a sexy robot for a little while.
I didn't know it was sexy. So I was sexy. Oh my gosh.
It had a real rasp to it, I would say.
Oh my God. A seductive robot. Like,
well, to be
like,
fair, you weren't making real words. It was like a cooing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
An artificial intelligence. Erotic intelligence. Intelligence.
So like that's what I'm saying. Like this, you know, like that's fate. What happened to us. And so
But they made it here anyway. Unfortunate. I'm just a normal human woman again. So gross. Just repulsive.
Voice isn't even sexy a little bit now.
You know, it's hard to be a human woman. Something that I've been thinking about a lot this week. It's hard to be a human woman, but it's maybe easy to be a sexy robot.
I don't know if sexy robots ever have people treating them the way that people treat women in this world.
It's true. People really respect sexy robots.
A sexy transformer would never have this happen to them. Something to think about.
You would never speak this way to a sexy transformer.
I also, did you guys listen to any of that Behind the Bastards, the ones about Vince yet? Did you start it?
No, I
haven't. We should say our best friend of the pod, Jeff, sent us this recommendation, which I actually haven't responded to his email yet, and I need to. But he recommended the podcast.
So this is how he's going to find out.
The tone of disappointment.
I didn't mean to.
Well, it had a rough week, Anne. A lot going on.
Yeah, Anne, please. We need solidarity now more than ever.
I'm so sorry.
So let's all just support each other.
Anyway,
so what were you saying, Anne?
Oh, yeah. So, Anne, our podcast.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I listened to the two episodes that are out, but it was also like not the best week to listen to an episode about how wrestling has been rotten from the beginning. I'll tell you that.
No, I would agree that no, that wouldn't really be the week for it.
No.
Although, yeah. I'm just thinking about like what I'm, you know, watching and reading right now. And I'm like, well, also not good. It turns out once you get it on the brain, you know, anyway...
Do you think that was a good intro?
Yeah, I think it was amazing. So that was kind of the week in wrestling. Anything else to say?
Yeah, I think we're done here, really.
I've been Leah. The bases.
And I've Final been Destination.
Erotic intelligence. That someone's already doing it. Don't know, Allie, come on. You know, someone's
chat,
out there. They've already got erotic
S-X-Y.
Intelligence.
Gonna put you out of a job, Allie.
Oh my God, no. I can't even have this. I can't
Did
even
I tell
have...
you it. at my stupid job at our all hands meeting, they were talking about AI, computer generated stuff, and how exciting it is. I was like, I don't feel excited about this.
It's absolutely out of control. And I broke that news on this podcast, if you'll recall correctly, at a time when neither of you had seen a lick of information about ChatGPT. It was already getting pushed to me on the platform twitter.com, and I'm bursting in here saying, unrelatedly, just saying, and then the robots take our jobs, sounding like I'm on the Joe Rogan podcast, kind of, maybe. Haven't seen that many clips. What are we talking about?
I think how not this week in wrestling was.
this week in wrestling. Okay. No, we'll talk about it. Hey, guys, we are going to talk about it. I put a whole quarter of my ass into this schedule, so we're going to get it done. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you courageous? No. Are you? What's the whole mantra?
You were are doing we a chant caring? In the.
Are we kind? Do we like love this. All of our bodies and our minds? Are we creative? Are we courageous?
I'm gonna
Is
do
the
my
love and light we share just so contagious.
Oh,
thank you, Dustin. Thank you. My new fake news always spreading is that Dustin actually invented that chant. Okay, this week on Dynamite, the Young Bucks showed up to TV and were immediately accosted first by Alex Marvez, who wanted an update on Kenny's situation after Don Callis betrayed him, and then immediately afterwards by the BCC. They threw their suitcases at the BCC, loved that. That was kind of a Transformers feeling moment. Like, I thought, what are they going to turn into? And then I was like, nothing. They are just suitcases, but they do make a good projectile weapon when you need them.
Oh, so you thought, the suitcases might, unfold into something?
Just the way that they put the handles down and picked them up. My brain was Transformers. What are they turning them into? But they just didn't want to break the handles off the suitcases.
Yeah.
Which does show
some presence
sense.
Of mind. Yeah.
Good yeah, they don't, yeah, don't waste a perfectly good suitcase.
I mean, one of those was an away suitcase. You know, those aren't cheap.
That's so true. I love the idea. That is the kind of, What is it when you don't, no, Allie, when you don't spend the money, frugal, the kind of frugality that you can admire when there are other people at that company who are breaking cars all the time. But the elite also have broken cars. So, okay. So what are we talking about? No, I know. So later in... Yes,
before
Leah?
We started this podcast, Allie said, God. Just as a disclaimer, I did take an edible, and I'm wondering if that's going to be a problem, but probably it won't be.
I didn't say that it would be a problem. I didn't say I wonder if that's going to be a problem. I said I know that is going to start working on me, but I didn't know what it would be like.
Well, it turns out
this.
Are we having fun?
We're having so much fun.
We're flying into the bottom of the hole, and Brian Cage is there.
I need to go into his mouth. But if you guys looked at me really sternly right now, and you were like, girl, you have to get it together. You can't be this way. I would be so shamed that I would get it together. So just keep that in your back pocket. Okay. Don Callis was the main event of Dynamite. They announced the match as the main event, but then Don Callis was coming on afterwards. I feel like in our group chat, we were told that's happened before, but not that I remembered. And it was a little weird.
I don't think they usually say it's the main event if there's a match and then a talking segment. They don't usually say at 9:35, and here's our main event. It's just, it was a little weird. That's fine.
MJF has done it before, but it's not often.
That seems potentially right. So Don Callis came out. There was a whole gauntlet of security guards, the poor maligned security guards at AEW. He came out to explain why he betrayed Kenny. Does one of you want to tell me, how would you boil his argument down?
That he wanted to? He didn't have a good one.
No, he did just kind of, it was funny. It kind of felt like he meant to get to the part where he said, I resent Kenny for getting credit for what I believe to be my achievements of like making him a star, but he didn't quite get to that explicit verbalization.
No, he just sort of was like, well, like I helped Kenny do all of these things and that's why I had to kill him. And I was like, well, that didn't make sense.
Didn't they used to always say that Don Callis was like Kenny's uncle? Because I feel like since the betrayal, they've upgraded it to Kenny's like a son to him. And I'm like, I don't think that's the familial relationship that they're working with there.
It was uncle for a little bit. And I have to say, like, the weird sexy painting was a little sexy. So I don't really understand what family play they're doing.
Definitely some pretty intense family play, it is seeming like, to me. So Kenny came out mid-speech. Shirtless, wearing normal jeans. I mean, nothing weird about them. There was just sexy normal jeans.
Yeah, so loved it.
That
he's
was
trying
so
for
fun.
Us now. He's putting on some fashion, you know? It's not crumpled shorts from the laundry hamper.
One of my friends who doesn't watch it saw a picture and she went, is Kenny wearing a belt for you guys now? He was. Thank you so much. He's really
wow.
Rough.
That's so nice.
Things are going actually really well with us and Kenny right now. Yes, he's wearing a belt for us. Okay, so we got to cruise. I don't know why this is taking so long. We got to cruise through the rest of this. Okay, so Kenny's there, and then the Blackpool Combat Club are there at some point, and then the Bucks come out to be with Kenny and to defend him. And Leah, you either look like I'm being funny or you want to say this, so I'm just going to kick it to you.
No. It was just that you had like a little bit of the rhythm of like the Wizard of Oz. Yeah. And the BCC was there, the Bucks were there.
Don Callis was there. Tony was there way off in the distance. Do you want to tell us what happened though?
Oh, no.
Okay. I kind of told you that everyone was going to have to be an equal partner in explaining things tonight, but you're right. I will do it. So the Bucks are there. So Kenny's there. The Bucks are there. And then commentary is being like, well, the BCC, they're all in the ring. They've got four guys, but they've only got three guys, the Elite. So who comes out? It's Mommy's sexy boy Hangman.
So
and
finally.
He is wearing an eye patch. He's looking roguish. He's looking mad. He and Kenny exchange a little look where it's like Kenny's face is saying, I don't know about this, but it's the best chance we got kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I would say it was like, I'm still scared that you're going to hurt me, but I'm ready to trust again.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm wary, but I'm open.
Mm. I didn't see as much of the open. Like, to me, it was kind of like, I'm scared to be in touch with my own feelings right now.
I don't know. He handed
fear.
He handed Hangman his broom.
He did hand him his broom.
And that
I don't
hurt.
Know.
I mean,
that's so true that a man's broom is his heart. That is right. You know what? It's on me that I forgot that a man's broom is his heart. That's my fault.
Men don't sweep with just anyone. So
it happened to you.
Or just anything. They need their broom. A man would never sweep with his hands. He needs his broom.
The cleaner needs his broom.
The cleaner, the symbol of his cleaning?
Hello?
He wouldn't give that to just anyone.
The broom is his calcifer, Allie.
Okay. We can't get into all that right now. So they're all there, just all the men. They're all there. Anyway, then the Elite made it into the ring, and they're standing there, and Hangman is shouting, we're the heart and soul of this company, and we're going to fight you, Anarchy, in the arcade at Double or Nothing, coming up next weekend. Buy it on Fight TV. And then they're doing the pose, you know, the one, and then Hangman goes, and he stands with them, and so they go from three men and one man to four men together, and they touch hands.
Right.
Dude, did you watch the video of afterwards when they all did like the little cheers? Did you see this?
Yeah.
Matt and Nick had like I think it was like a Coke Zero, and then Hangman had a beer and Kenny had a glass of milk.
They brought milk for Kenny. Yeah.
Honestly, so gross.
I know. Well, and then he did say something about like, I don't know if he spilled it on the ring a little bit, but it was basically like, this isn't going to be a good situation. location for the people who have to come out here and wrestle on Rampage. Like, wow, this is going to smell good.
Kenny Omega Mildew, man.
I don't know. That's, I don't think exactly what happened, but it was something like that. It was basically like, this milk is going to stink the place up. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't drink milk after a big athlete. Although I think actually milk
is
hydrates
it good
you
for
better.
You?
It hydrates you better than
some but
other
it's so
stuff.
Thick in your mouth. If you told me that Kenny drinks full glasses of heavy cream, I would believe it.
It's so nasty.
Like buttermilk from a potato. Oh.
Just fresh out of the cow. Yeah.
We're gonna get sued for the claims that we're making.
Legally,
our energy
that was
today.
A joke.
Yeah, legally it was a joke.
This whole podcast is protected under parody, I think.
That should be our new intro. To be clear, you cannot sue.
Welcome
us
to Tunnel Talk Pod. This whole podcast is protected by parody. A parody of ourselves. Look, we are actually quite deep into the podcast at this point, so just hit me with your top thoughts about this, okay?
It was really good. I really liked it.
It was good. It was really good.
It felt very emotional.
Yeah, I was so glad that Hangman's back, and I wish I knew exactly why he'd been gone this whole time, but it's nice to see them back together.
It's nice to see the men together. I gotta catch up on BTE. Because yeah. I can't coast anymore. I'm going to have to see Mondays.
Now we're really in it. Yeah,
we're really in it.
Matt's cleared. Full steam ahead.
Matt's cleared. Hangman's there. We're going to get some pre-match footage of what was up with the men when they decided to come out together and exchange brooms in front of everyone and God and man. So,
that sounds like a hippy-dippy wedding ceremony for sure. Like, the, oh yes, we did our hand fasting and our broom exchange.
I really want to do that. I really want to do that.
You'd love a broom exchange at your wedding for sure.
I know, but
it'd have to be like an antique one though. With the
well, that's what I'm saying is that like, I guess it's like you can't marry someone who would give you a broom you don't like because I have a beautiful broom that I would be giving to my wife. And if she gave me a new broom back, I would be so sickened. The wedding would be off.
Well, that's how you know it's not right. You'd call off the wedding.
You're right. Imagine if we were there watching Allie get married to someone who brought out like a brand new like $3 broom from Target. I don't know.
Like,
we'd
I've
have to
enough.
Object.
This,
yeah.
I gotta
and
go.
We'd all be like, yeah, we get it for sure. Yeah.
The audience just sighs. It's like, this is her fourth attempt at marriage. Every broom is wrong. And some of them were perfectly nice, actually. Some of them were, it's just like, that's an antique broom. And I'm like, not the right one. How could you possibly have thought that was the right one?
Listen, if it takes years, you wait for the right broom.
That's right.
That's what we always say.
You don't want to spend your whole life with the wrong broom.
Hangman said, I have been handed many serviceable brooms, but tonight I've been handed a broom wreathed in, you know,
barbed
the
wire.
Barbed wire.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, now that I see, and my heart sings.
What's sexy about that is he was handed that broom before and he didn't appreciate it. And so he threw away that broom, but now he got a second chance.
Oh, it's a comedy of remarriage.
They've both grown and changed. Hangman knows that this is the best broom that he could ever get.
He'll treat that broom better now.
Mm-hmm. Treat that broom. He says, you're going to live in a place of pride in the pantry.
Not in the garage. In the pantry. In the house.
You don't have to do outdoor sweeping anymore. Only sweeping and barbed wiring in the house. In the warmth of the house.
I think we've constructed an elaborate...
You know, the thing
world
that I like
here.
About our podcast is nobody's doing the commentary that we're doing.
No one is.
No,
yes.
Absolutely not. You can't get this from Brian and Dave.
Brian and Dave never talk about the broom exchange. No.
I wish they would. Honestly, I wish they would. Well, okay. Anyway.
We can't get into all that.
We can't get into all that. We must move on. Does anyone... I wish you wouldn't say anything else about this, but you absolutely must.
Just pull a little, y'all done here?
y'all done here? Okay, we're moving on.
I did see pictures of Hangman at the house show where he was, and he took pictures with fans and stuff, I think, but like his eye patch was sometimes over one eye and sometimes over the other eye, which I thought was very funny.
That's a remarkable lack of continuity from Hangman.
Yeah, I mean, these were like pictures on Twitter or whatever, but still.
They could have been taken back.
Maybe they were taken backwards. I hope they were. I believe Hangman. I was disappointed to see the lack of continuity. So
this is classic. It's like four men can remember exactly this position they stood in 3 years ago and stand in it a million times, but they can't remember which eye they need an eye patch on. Absolutely classic. Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin fought Big Bill and Lee Moriarty on Dynamite. I believe the reason, at the time, we were all pretty confused about why this was happening. I believe the information available is that Kyle Fletcher, who had called out Orange Cassidy, was supposed to be on the show but was sick. So, yeah.
And they're wrestling.
That's what he gets. Am I right?
Yeah. He and Orange Cassidy are wrestling this coming week instead. So
they're going to win in the week?
Wednesday on Dynamite, next week when...
I've had it. Well, now I don't know why that was my response, but what was I going to say about Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin? Oh, well, I guess that they'd had this. Maybe they were going to have this anyway, in which case I'm even more confused. And Kyle Fletcher was always going to be next week. But apparently OC and Darby did this. This was a rematch of a House Rules tag match. And it didn't happen for any reason that we know of. And it was perfectly fun to watch and didn't mean anything, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally enjoyed the match, but I was like so mad that there had been no setup at all. Like it's just like, wow, it makes perfect sense to do this at a house show because it's like, what a fun combination that I'd love to see. And it's like out of storyline, but it's just like, what are we doing here? We just throw anybody.
Especially because it's like, you'd think that OC would really be in a phase where he's like, I pretty much need to maybe only focus on this belt that's slowly killing me.
Yeah, exactly. And Darby's like in the middle of his whole thing. So
yeah, I'm not sure what we were supposed to feel like this match did for Darby, like approaching the pay-per-view. I guess it's like, not that Darby hasn't always been a babyface, but they've been like kind of ultra babyfacing him. I feel like with the promos, like he's the only one of the three of them that I'm like, yeah, you're coming off as fully a face in the things that you say and do. Even Jungle Boy, I'm just like, I don't really know what this deal is.
I know. Well, and they basically did like a Bachelor hometown episode with him where he like went and saw his dad and stuff. Yeah. So like, yeah.
But that's, yeah, so it's like, what did this do for him? I guess he was with OC and OC is also a baby face. So that's all I got.
Sure. I really like when OC and Darby interact though, because like, weirdly, I feel like they're like cousins, you know, like something about their, like the way they like talk to each other and like move is just very funny where I'm like, you guys aren't the same at all, but there's just some like, oh, but you guys like, have the same grandma.
Yeah. They're the most ragdolled guys in the company. And
No one goes limper. So Orange Cassidy had a couple of backstage segments where first he was like, everybody wants my belt. Like, I'll fight you, but you have to go talk to Tony Khan. And another where Renee Paquette was like, yeah, 20 men went and talked to Tony and begged for your hand in marriage. So he was like, okay, we'll have a 21 man. Now, this is what I need to check in with you guys about. How do you say it? Am I really saying it wrong? When I say Battle Royale, is that straight up wrong?
No, I don't think so.
That's right. JR says Battle Royal, but everyone does. Oh, she
said it. Like, I feel like recently every time somebody has said it on TV, I'm like, am I crazy?
I'm not saying Battle Royale. That's stupid.
I think a lot of people say Royale, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I've heard it on the TV.
Okay. Because I think it's normal.
It's like pecan versus pecan, you know? It's like, it's regional, well, probably.
Okay. Okay, great. So, perfect. So, a 21-man battle royale at Double or Nothing. He and the 20 men will fight. So, he either wins his own hand in marriage, his own broom. He either wins his own broom, or one lucky man wins a broom exchange.
I know. For a guy who's like, really... this belt is slowly killing him. He's like, yeah, 20 of you can come kill me at once. Like, It's a tough guy.
Yeah, you need more and more to get high, basically.
That's right, yeah.
Any other thoughts about this before we get into the broader Pillars situation?
I am just psyched for that match. The matches they announced for the pay-per-view, like the Anarchy in the Arena with BCC in the Elite, and then this one, I was both like, oh, okay, I'm excited for those. So that's good, because I didn't feel like this episode was like the best build-up for the pay-per-view for most of it. But
it wasn't. Yeah, I think it's hard. This pay-per-view cycle, we have quite a few storylines that it's not even like sometimes we're just like, oh, yeah, I'm tired of that. Quite a few where we're like, oh, I don't watch that. I will not pay attention to what is happening in that storyline. That is how much I don't care mm-hmm. and dislike this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I don't know where the sentence started, but all of the Pillars had matches on Dynamite. So Darby had the match we just talked about. Sammy had a squash match against Exodus Prime. And JB fought Roosh. So I don't really feel like going through all this stuff that happened.
No, who cares?
you just have to know they all interacted, and then at the end, so JB cheated.
Yeah,
Leah.
Apparently. Yeah, I was shocked by it because I didn't clock that at the moment. But when I was reading the Bleacher Man's recap, Eric Beeston was having a shit fit. He was like, JB cheated, like, and then it needed to be a thing. So then I went back and actually rewatched it, and he does. He pins him with a handful of panties, and Taz goes, oh, he had his trunks in his hands. So Taz saw it, but I don't know if it's supposed to mean anything. I mean,
but
knowing
did commentary say anything else? Were they like, oh, JB cheated to win?
Taz said.
Just Taz, did he say?
Taz pointed it out. He was like, "Oh, he pinned him with a handful of trunks."
But and nobody else said anything.
No, they just moved on. Okay, so that's why I don't know if it'll ever come up again. You know, but I don't know.
Seems like
how
it's
could
kind
it
of a
never
big
if it's on yeah. purpose? How could it never come up again?
Because it's
but he did
Dynamite.
It like on purpose.
Yeah, but, I mean, he very with, deliberately.
So with I mean, malice aforethought, he grabbed the panties.
Yeah,
with malice aforethought. Boy, grabbing people's panties is not cool.
I know, wrestlers. But it's like one of those things where it's like, how many times have they brought something up and then like we're like, oh wow, yeah. That's gonna pay off big time, and then it never gets mentioned again.
Almost well, every time.
Some of this stuff too, it's like I overall like the Pillars thing. Like I think a lot of it has been really good, but then some of the stuff, like what they're doing with Sammy, doesn't. It's like, and with JB both, I'm like, I don't know what they're doing with your characters, guys. Like, seems all over the place.
Sammy is fully trying to like babyface. Like he, he had, Sammy's from Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're in Texas and he's fighting Exodus Prime and commentary is being like, and he's from Oklahoma and you know how we feel about Oklahomans in Texas. And the crowd was booing Exodus Prime, who might be a heel, I guess. I don't really remember, but I was like, the setup is like, if you're baby facing him. And then he gave that it was pretty quick promo, but where he was just like, I honestly couldn't reproduce the content of this promo.
It was like you've watched me grow up. You've seen me make mistakes.
Yes.
I've lived and learned all in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Right. And that, but then, he's just like, and now I will win the belt. And it was like, the mistakes that you made were not winning the belt. Like I know we're being quite vague here. So I guess, but if you're trying to like say I have done things wrong, maybe a better cap to that would be like, and I've examined my behaviors.
Well, it's like he was literally like accepting bribes and chumming up to MJF like 2 weeks, even setting aside like Sammy's whole personality. It's like he was literally doing major heel stuff, what, like 2 weeks
ago? Right. It's like you're straight up not worthy of the belt, dude. Yet, no. I guess. So it was like a real, like, they're, yeah, I don't know, just crazy.
Yeah.
JB and Roosh. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, if they're having JB cheat, if it is going to mean anything, it's a very weird swerve. So I guess hopefully it does. I don't even know. It just seems like a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
Don't you guys think, though, that Sammy is trying to turn face because Ty needs him to turn face?
It's the least he could do for her. It's just too bad it won't work at all, ever.
So crazy. Why would you go? It's like, it's not going to work. So why would you go to all this trouble instead of just breaking up in kayfabe?
Yeah, just kayfabe break up, like solve all your problems. She's a natural babyface. He's a natural heel. Like just
right. Then and then you
pretend
can,
you don't you know each other.
Glower at each other from, you know.
Yeah, you can have
in
little
some of the same shot. Sure,
fight each other. Pretend you're exes. That's great.
Stupid. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, well then at the end it's like Sammy ran out. Darby ran out to save Jungle Boy. And Sammy ran out to save Darby. So there was an old lady who swallowed the fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. I guess she'll die. And then they all kind of looked at each other, you know? Like, well, one of us has to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who did Sammy have the backstage promo with? Because I did like
Darby.
When he was saying to Darby, like, look, it fundamentally doesn't matter which one of us wins as long as one of us does.
Yeah.
Like, that is the kind of crap I want to be hearing from them.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to hear it from Sammy because I know he doesn't mean it, but
yeah,
right.
Well, Renee pointed out that in a four-way, like to MJF, that like MJF doesn't have to get pinned to lose the belt. Like, so somebody else could get pinned and win it, which is sort of interesting when like Sammy was... I don't think they'll do it, but like it's like, oh, so Sammy could like let Darby pin him and then Darby would have the belt. Well, that's interesting.
I was about to say that I wish they would lean on the idea that like having a three-way or a four-way is almost scarier than fighting just a singles match for a belt, because it's like you're not in full control of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was about to be like, why don't they emphasize that more? And then I was like, have I been supposed to be getting that from like how freaked out MJF is, but I just kind of thought it was like because of fighting three men. I didn't think about that. Yeah. Actually, it goes deeper than that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think they could have been emphasizing that a lot more. Yeah.
For those of us who didn't know that, I mean, we probably did. If you look back
we
historically at what we've seen, yeah,
a little reminder helps, though, just
remind
for sure.
Us, please, yeah. Please. Thank you, Renee. Did you guys read this thing about JB and Roosh are like friends? They really like each other?
I did,
in real life?
It's cute, yeah. Like, yeah.
That's
apparently
cute.
They're brothers, yeah. Probably because they both have the same hair, so...
I thought that was sweet. I like Roosh too.
He's been behaving himself in AEW. It's very funny.
And he brings like a really good intense energy, I think, to his matches. I'm a Roosh girl.
I know, me too.
Okay. So also on Dynamite, I didn't describe any of it. Roderick Strong had his match versus Chris Jericho, which was a false count anywhere. So they were kind of cruising around the venue. And the plot of the match was that everyone had been banned from ringside of all factions, especially Adam Cole. And but then he was banned from the building. Mm-hmm. And so the fight took them outside where Adam Cole was able to assist Roderick Strong in defeating Chris Jericho.
So true.
Yeah.
I did not watch a lot. You did a good job. You explained it. And you didn't have any notes here, and you did a really good job.
I'm going to have to double back and listen to what I said, because you said good job, and I was like, she's being so mean to me right now. I did my best.
No, you did, because we could see that there's nothing here, and you had to remember.
You just remembered all of that with your powerful mind.
Your powerful mind.
That's the surprise, listeners. I remembered all of that with my powerful mind. Leah, what were you saying about...
No, just that, like, for some reason, like, I really tuned my brain completely out during this match, and I just kept doing this thing where every time I looked up, they were in a completely new location, and I was like, they're fighting on a drink beverage stand, whatever.
I was, like, so mad at wrestling, and then when this one started, I was like, oh, another match, like, I have no emotional investment in, and then the match itself was, like, actually pretty fun, but I was, like, so just, like, not in the mood for it that I didn't enjoy it fully, but, like... I mean, they did some crazy stuff. They really explored the space in that stadium. So good for them.
It was in that zone of wrestling as performance art that you love to see. It was fun. Do we want to talk at all about, have our feelings shifted at all on Roderick Strong? Are we liking him or understanding him more or less or neither?
he needs to be given, and he needs to show up on BTE, or he needs to be given like a promo where he gets to like do a goof or something. Like, I don't really understand what his personality is supposed to be, because I'm sorry, he does seem like he should be a heel, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's like difficult. Very cute, but he hasn't expressed anything at all. And our friend Jeff did tell me that Roderick Strong actually doesn't do much storytelling. So I was hoping he would change his ways, but apparently...
If he's not going to do storytelling, he should at least agree to be an amenable prop in the story. Right. You know what I mean? Like, just let somebody else give you direction.
I thought he was Bucks associated, so I assumed he was...
I know, but I mean, I think he is sort of associated, but it just sounds like he doesn't do many things himself. So
he just
appreciates his friend's art.
He should just always make his own. He should let them move him around the chessboard.
Yeah, I know. I feel like him and Adam Cole together aren't doing enough because he's not bringing any personality to it.
Well,
so.
I don't really think Adam Cole is very confident as a face. You know,
it's like, so crazy.
Yeah.
I think, did one of you say that it's like, that he has kind of a brain, or maybe the wrestlers in general have this kind of brain glitch where it's like, they just get out there and the only way they know to express, like, I feel passionate about something is to do this, like, machismo, like, mean madness that is not always that effective at being like, yeah, I do want you to get that thing you want. Like,
yeah.
And it's like you watch this behind the scenes footage of Adam Cole and he's just like the world's like sweetie baby, where it's like, girl, if you just came out and did that, like, you are gonna have the crowd licking milk out of your hand like a little kitten.
Licking milk right off the ring mat. Yeah.
I will say it again.
I didn't like it. Marjorie cut it. I didn't like it.
You
too
can't.
Much
this
milk
is,
talk.
This is my powerful exploration of language. With its rough little kitten tongue. The rough kitten tongue of the crowd.
No.
Interesting. Some,
it laps up some milk and rejects others.
I think I own the zoo, right? So I could, like, forcibly mute you.
Just cut it off.
I don't know why you want to. I'm a little hurt.
No, okay. But I do think, like, if Adam Cole had the right person to play off of, they could kind of maybe get that out of him more. But I don't think it's quite working with this pairing. Because, like, Leah's right. He's not confident doing it himself. And then I don't think Roderick Strong's bringing enough to the table.
Yeah, Strong kind of compounded the issues he was already having. Go ahead, Leah.
I wish that Adam Cole and Jay White were in a faction together and they each brought their little boyfriend. And then Adam Cole and Jay White were like, you know, bickering for who's going to lead this faction and while pretending to be friends about it.
Yeah.
I want to be watching that.
That would be so fun.
That immediately has so much more personality than what either of them are doing right now. Yeah.
Yeah, because like, I put it somewhere else, but we should just say it now. Like, Jay White and Ricky Starks are in this ongoing feud, and he is a real nothing situation. Yeah,
absolutely nothing. It's amazing how little is going on there. It's just like...
I know, but like, I feel bad because I don't think that it's Jay's fault because like,
no.
Jericho couldn't get anything out of Ricky.
Yeah,
like, I just don't think that Ricky gives a lot to work with.
And it's funny because like on very brief occasions, like Ricky with Hobbs was a lot of fun. And then like he had that one good promo. So it's like, it's not like it's impossible, but like in general, he's just been such a dud and everything else. And Jay White hasn't like really given promos. Like, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. They're just not giving the new guys like enough establishing things.
Yeah.
Well, because Jay White's little, like all of his, I don't know what to call them, but like basically his like heel character mannerisms and like the little things you hear him say here and there, like the way it's like he clearly is a very good and fun character. Like it's coming across in those moments, but it is like he and Ricky are in the void together. And I don't understand Ricky's deal at all. I'm fairly annoyed with him because he just didn't do the right thing. Like he face turned and then has never once behaved like a face, which he could have done while still being a complete bitch.
Yeah.
Very easily. He just didn't do it.
I know. And he like has pushed for like getting the singles run and the singles push and like been so whiny about not getting opportunities. And now it's like you've had like 100 opportunities and you have not been interesting at all. So
yeah. Yeah. There's, you know, well, I guess we'll see what happens, but yeah. I think it's been a wasted introduction to Jay White.
For sure.
Okay. Do you guys want to talk about some of the heavier topics of the week? Well, partly heavier topics and partly just gossip.
Yeah.
Do I have your consent to proceed?
Are you in an emotional space?
Are you in a space to receive information that could hurt you? Okay. So on Wednesday morning, we got the announcement along with the Warner Brothers Discovery upfronts that Collision is a go. Collision is coming to TV starting in June, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. June 17th.
Starting June
something.
Amazing. So then Tony also had an announcement on Dynamite where he was like, you've heard that Collision is coming. We're so excited, blah, blah, blah. And he announced a bunch of the Canada dates where Collision would be filming. And then I guess he was just like, and the first date, TBD, like didn't announce that one.
We'll tell you next week where the first show's going
to
be.
You're going to love to hear eventually where you'd love to know where that first date is, wouldn't you?
You'd think we'd be able to tell you right now, but don't worry about it.
That's for us to know and you to find out. So as the terminally online wrestling fans that we know that Tony has booked the United Center in Chicago because Punk is supposed to be coming back for this show to AWTV to be the king of Collision.
And the episode is going to be called The Second Coming, just super normal, cool names for stuff.
Well, I can't really unpack all that. But, okay, but I'm just looking at this and I'm like, I wish this is what I had explained better, but I didn't. Punk was supposed to be in the materials announcing Collision. This is the behind the scenes reportage, okay? And that some of this from the dirt sheets and some people have said it's not true. It kind of seems like it's true. Punk was supposed to be on the promotional materials and ended up not being on the promotional materials, and AEW is not really being announcing that United Center situation yet. Because I think that what many feel is like, can you go to the United Center if you are not filming CM Punk? And the answer is kind of like, no, maybe no.
Not really. Maybe you have to go to Jacksonville.
Maybe no.
Yeah. Yeah. And then are you going to tell them allegedly?
Why don't you take us into the next stage?
Well, and allegedly the reason that Punk... Well, allegedly what happened at the last minute is he was supposed to be in the promo materials like on Tuesday, and then they told Warner Brother to pull him by Wednesday because Punk was insisting and potentially had been promised that Ace Steel would be able to come back. And then Tony said, well, he can come back, but only to work remote, and he can't be at the building, which I don't know what working remote as a wrestling producer really would entail, but okay.
I don't know, but were you the one who said, like, I would be, like, on my knees begging for that job offer? I think somebody in our group chat was just like,
never do it again. Yeah. Anyway,
I would
so
not
Punk-
be complaining.
Yeah, but Punk apparently threw a shit fit because Ace Steel is maybe not coming back or maybe isn't allowed on site and he's his comfort goat. So then, and then Punk's camp apparently said that it was actually a miscommunication between lawyers, and actually Punk and Tony are having a great time together.
On amazing terms, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which is exactly, I'm here laughing and having a great time with all my friends. They're just out of screen.
It was just a legal miscommunication, like, obviously. Why were our
We've
lawyers
all
talking?
Had them.
Don't
it's
worry
like I've
about
actually
it.
Never had a legal miscommunication once in my life. So
it's not a real hazard.
Let's see why you're having
so
into. Many of them. So that's the like CM Punk continues to just really make things a shit show, like normal edition part. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to like divide this. I'm like, do you have anything that you want to say about the wrestling thing that's going on here, which is they don't know if the CM Punk is going to come for Collision. It kind of seems like CM Punk is maybe trying to get out of doing Collision.
Right. It is like, this is the kind of CM Punk news we've gotten every week for the past 9 months, basically. But yeah, I was like, on the one hand, would I be thrilled to have CM Punk not coming back? Like, obviously. But on the other hand, like, if he doesn't come back, then is Collision going to be like,
new
like,
Rampage?
What are they going to, new Rampage? Like, now there's 3 hours of Rampage I have to either watch or feel guilty about not watching. Like that, and like, there's like two matches I like on Collision and like four matches I like on Dynamite. And then I have to like watch them both. And then there's all this, I was kind of excited to not have to watch FTR. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So that seems like a problem.
Well, it's honestly, I mean, we're biased because we like what we like and not what we don't. But when you look at the people on the Collision poster who seemed like they were supposed to be on the Collision poster, like it was a real crew of big, meaty men where I was like, oh, but you're kind of such a dud. Like you just never...
Totally.
Like you never do storytelling. You never like... really goof around, like
it's like it was just weird where I was like men alive.
And I think in some ways like the idea of that show with CM Punk at their center, like actually, you know, it's if it was fiction it would be thrilling almost, where it's just like the spider at the center of his web that's full of like big beefy flies or something. But and I think you know what I mean there. But as like, but then you take CM Punk away and it's like, wow, so now like who is even gonna be causing like malicious trouble with his words here?
You're like, Hobbs and Wardlow, not up to the task of causing chaos. Yeah. It's just it just seems like it's how is that show going to be? And I don't even care if the show's successful. It's just like, I feel like they're going to have to dilute like that show with like people I like to try to get people to watch it. And that's not a good scenario for me.
Well, I guess the other thing is it's, I guess I wasn't thinking, but like if CM Punk goes into the lawsuit zone and doesn't do Collision, I guess then a lot of the parameters that you had around Collision do kind of melt away. Like you still have the problem of booking for a Saturday, but you don't need any kind of brand split if you don't want to do it, you know, or you could do a totally different brand split based on different parameters that aren't like can't be in the building with CM Punk.
Right. I mean, I would like it if they had like one that was more comedy wrestling and for fun, silly boys and one that was more boring guys and that'd be
fine.
It's
true, although
I don't think that's what they do.
In a perfect world, and we've like been there before in the past, just not for a while, it's so important to have the comedy wrestlers and the boys that you don't want to watch, because you watch your match that you love, you watch your luchas, you watch your funny boys, and then you get a little snack break while FDR comes out and does something. I mean,
I haven't needed a cool down zone for a while, actually quite a while, but that's true. It's pretty vital. And I do like when people who aren't usually doing comedy wrestling then do a little bit of comedy with a funny boy once in a while. You know, that's always fun.
No, if they're game for it and they get in the spirit of it and they really like play the straight man instead of inherently just like fully being a straight man derogatory.
Exactly.
So the other shittier Punk thing that was going on this week that is honestly insane to even try and explain the series of events here. So I guess it's that Brian Alvarez announced the Collision thing that was like Punk was supposed to be in the materials and wasn't. That's the reportage that I've gotten. And CM Punk was really mad that he talked about that on, as Brian Alvarez has emphasized, his wrestling show. So then Punk tweeted...
Insta-storied.
And I don't even really remember the content. He just was like mad at Brian Alvarez.
Was actually like fairly unintelligible if you haven't been like following that there's a Punk Alvarez beef for 20 years over possibly a kayfabe crush in 2005. I don't even know. It was nonsense. It was just like like punk posted all this like stupid drama Insta stories and then ended his stream of them by saying, telling everyone else to touch grass, which is pretty funny. Because he posted an Alvarez email from apparently 15 years ago. So
that's very cool. That's so insane. But so that happened. So, and then David Bixenspan somehow, I can't believe I've even tried to describe all of this.
It's so stupid. Certain,
David Bixenspan was being like, well, Brian Alvarez is mean to CM Punk because, or CM Punk was
mad. He was like, CM Punk is justified in being mad at Brian Alvarez because in 2006, Brian Alvarez said that Punk was, I think, quote, dangerous around the girls. Which Bix was beyond the pale.
Well,
Bix has any stake in this?
I don't know. Someone is always talking in this community, and it's not us often enough. But yeah, so David Bixen's fan was like, it's justified or whatever. But then Reddit was immediately, being on the internet, fast. It's just like, come on. Reddit was like, well, he was kind of justified in saying that about CM Punk because, like, just look at this example of CM Punk's behavior and how he was talking about women in 2005.
Yeah, it was an ROH shoot interview was sold on DVD with Colt Cabana and CM Punk.
You know what's weird, though, is that I was Googling to try to find out, like, more information, and somebody posted that to Reddit in February, and it got almost no comments and no attention whatsoever. I think it's just because it got sucked into this, but like, I don't like it. I think it had 3 comments on it in February or something like that. It was like crazy.
It had over 2,000 this time. It really got traction. Yeah, it's wild.
And I don't think we'll like say anything really that was in there on this podcast.
We should say that if you go to look it up, just do protect yourself. It really, I think the 3 of us were viscerally upset. Just
it was
the
really. It's funny, like you think you're pretty jaded. It's like, I've read all kinds of stuff about people being terrible to women, but I did find this like so upsetting. It was like unexpectedly. Just them being really, really cruel and misogynistic and purposefully hurting a woman that was trying to train with them. It really sucked.
It was cruel in this way that, like, I mean, it would have been, I think it would have been almost less upsetting if they were saying something that was like actively like murderous, you know? Because then you could be like, oh, like that's villain stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, the way they were talking, you were like, this is just how men think it's okay to be, you know? Like, this is, I mean, I think, Anne, you think you said it somewhere else, but like, there's not a lot of women wrestlers. Like, there's not a lot of women that have a ton of experience. I wonder why that is. Oh, this is why.
It's because you like literally drove them out. Like, someone who wanted to be a wrestler just like, just got like exploited and hurt and that's it. And it's depressing too, because like most people on Reddit were just being like, this is really upsetting and horrifying. But then there were a bunch of people being like, the culture was like this in 2005. And it's like, you know, I was a woman in 2005 and it sucked. And it sucked a lot more for me than it did for them, obviously. Yeah. And that's pretty upsetting.
I remember reading an interview with Manda Huber after Brody died. And she was talking about, like, apparently, you know, she was trying to be a wrestler and she like basically got edged out of it. Like, she just couldn't break in, and because nobody, like, it just felt like a very hostile scene, you know? And I'm like, it is miserable.
I've been so mad and then feeling like crazy to be so mad, but it's reminded me of like how I felt during, like, you know, not to compare it to this, but like the Brett Kavanaugh hearings and stuff, where you're just like, oh, I'm like surprised at like the depth of fury I'm feeling about this, but it's like, oh, this has been in there since, you know, 2005, my whole life, you know, just like surviving the culture, and then it like hits you. And I didn't expect it from Colt, so that was like pretty startling too.
I think
he was a good guy. I just thought he was like normal, and it's like, if this is normal,
it's like uncool. You easily forget like how dismal like normal can be in a culture. I don't even know what that meant. That was crazy. Yeah, no, it was so gross and upsetting. And it really did just like, I don't know. It's like it both like really took me back in time to be like, oh, it's 2005 again. And like, oh yeah. And like, it was, there were like even more things happening all the time that were actually like indefensible, like horrible, and it was just like, yeah, way more out in the open. I forgot the second half of what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's just, it's upsetting. And it's just like, oh yeah, wrestling like has, is horribly misogynistic. It was just like, I don't know. I've been enjoying it as a fun hobby, but this was just like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. Like these guys are all like horrible. And I don't know. It felt really bad.
Mm-hmm. It was deeply unchill, and left you with a really bad feeling in your mouth. And
yeah. Yeah, just like, I don't know. I guess it like made me feel very reflective about like how many hobbies that I've gotten into that people just didn't want me to be there, sort of thing, you know?
Like, yeah, right.
And just like the stupidest things. Like I, for some reason, this was stuck in my mind. And you and I tend to have a lot of like the same like music touchstones. Do you remember when Emo Game was like really popular? It was like a browser game that like you had defeat like Connor Oberst because he was like he was like trapped the Get Up Kids in his basement or something. It was like super popular, and like it was like my whole high school was like obsessed with it. But there was like this section that you just like as you progress through the levels where you had to finger bang like Mandy Moore, and it was like really explicit. And I remember at the time really not having the words to be like, oh, like I thought we were having fun, but then I just really abruptly was like, oh, you didn't expect me to be playing this game. Like, you never thought about like me playing, you know, I don't know. It's just, like, it's like a weird thing to like think about, but for some reason that's the memory that was like, just that abrupt moment where you're like, oh, nobody was considering that I would ever play this or hear this interview or care about this or, you know, have this hobby.
You thought were in your secret clubhouse and you didn't realize like the fourth wall is open. The audience is right there.
Yeah. Cause you weren't thinking about me as a person at all.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking about band stuff too. Cause it just seems so similar to every sort of like male dominated subculture where it's like, oh yeah, hobbies that girls have, those are shallow and stupid. And hobbies that boys have are awesome, but you're not allowed to be here. And you are like a stupid slut for showing up, you know? And it's just like, cool.
Right. And that it's like almost the funniest thing is that you like thought that possibly you were allowed to be here or that you like took anything that anyone like said, like gave people the benefit of the doubt. Like that was so stupid of you.
Right.
It was really depressing.
Feels good. Yeah. Feels great. It's nice when you're just trying to have a good time in your leisure hours and you just run right into something like that. And it's like, great. Love it.
So I think our energy, all of our energies about wrestling has been super weird.
Yeah. And then it's like, and CM Punk is still like very successful in wrestling and probably will continue to be. And
then you see all these, I know we've talked about this before, but then like all these like just arguments about stupid things or like arguments for stupid things where people are just like, well, it's not like crazy that he did this dumb thing because like, you know, it's like if you're a big star, you can ask for what you want, you can get what you want, or like where you're just like it's like an attitude thing around it where it's just like, oh my god, this is so.
Or people are like, oh well, wrestling's always been this way, like that's how stars get. It's like, you don't see that as a problem. And then it's making me crazy that all these guys are always like, AEW has like a woman problem, like why aren't women watching wrestling? It's like, well, you're running us out pretty aggressively, so maybe you could look at that if you're curious. I know you won't.
It's always framed in this way where it's like, how do you get women to choose wrestling? Like, how do you get women interested in wrestling? Blah blah blah. And it's like, well, how could you make wrestling more welcoming?
Like, literally not hostile. Like, not even welcoming. It's I feel like I've run into so many women who are like, oh yeah, I like loved wrestling as a kid and then I kind of stopped watching it at puberty. And it's like, oh, at puberty? What happened at puberty? You were like, I realized that I'm one of the worthless ones here. So it wasn't for me anymore. Cool. Anyway, that brought the energy down.
but here we are.
But here we are.
But here we are.
We're still here. We came back for this podcast. We're here.
We did. Heroically.
But I do feel like, unfortunately, we've crawled out of Brian Cage's mouth like a little cockroach. We're crawling up the walls of the sewer.
Oh,
I need to get back into that mouth.
Brian Cage, open back up.
Brian Cage, open your mouth.
I was listening for some reason to an old podcast of ours that was like in the months after Brawl Out, and I was like, our energy is really, it's very funny, but really verging on hysteria. Like, we've really gotten back there, I think. So.
I know. Well,
I said something to Sarah a couple of weeks ago. I forget. I was like, sometimes wrestling can make me feel very bad. And she turned to me and she goes, yeah, I was there all fall.
It's like we've somehow just like never quite fully came out the other side of that. Because we're still, it's so
still
funny.
Still in the fallout of that, yeah.
It's so funny that, when is this first Collision show supposed to be?
The middle of June, I think the 17th.
June 17th, so less than a month from now. Yeah. And Tony's just like, we just gotta ride it out a week because I just don't really know where that show is going to be exactly.
Totally, a week's going to be enough time. We'll know where it is and that'll be set.
I do find it just so pleasantly funny that Tony is in this pickle where he can't say Punk's name because Punk will sue him. But if he tries to have a Chicago show without Punk, he'll get murdered.
Yeah. And who did it? No one but Tony. Who can be blamed? It was very obvious that this would happen. It's like, yeah, of course it was going to explode. I kind of thought it would be like, after Collision debut, explode. But you know.
I guess as someone who like doesn't think it's a huge deal to just like pretty much keep things together just for like a couple of months until you destroy your life and the lives of those around you, I guess I thought he could last a little longer. Yeah.
Oh boy.
I mean,
it's comedy.
It's comedy.
Yeah. Sarah thinks he's doing it on purpose.
I think he wants that. Yeah.
She thinks he's scared of the pressure because Collision ratings might not be that good. I think it's plausible.
I think it's plausible. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Saturday night.
Yeah.
I mean.
And he's going to be working with Wardlow and FTR. So, yeah.
They're going to keep that pace slow and steady. And Arn Anderson. Arn's going to be there.
Oh, though. Arn's going to be there. That'll really jazz
the crowds
up.
Do love Arn.
I'm seeing Arn Anderson a little too much.
So much. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, it's because I heard how much you trust him.
Oh, I thought he and Tully had been banished, but nope. I brought that trustworthy voice back.
I don't know. I just like... As someone who didn't grow up with wrestling, there's like nothing about Arn Anderson when he talks, the things he says, like nothing about him that makes me think like, yeah, I get it. Like all the other stars, not all of them, but a lot of the, you know, the older guys, I'm just like, absolutely, I understand how in your prime, like this was the thing. Yeah. Arn Anderson is not giving me a single cent.
It was really funny because once like Jeff and I were out to dinner and I was being like, yeah, it's funny how like Brock Anderson is just like the least charismatic person ever, whereas Hook is like really, I'm like, this nepotism really, you know, can go either way. And Jeff was like, well, Arn Anderson has never been charismatic. It's like Taz was always charismatic, but Arn Anderson, I guess he was just like good in the ring, but now like you have to have a little more than that, but he was never. And I'm like, oh, that's very clear. Yeah, he's not charismatic at all. Good to know that he never has been.
It is. I wish he would just lead into like comedy though, because it is so funny for Arn to grab Wardlow and be like, you're the son I always wished I had.
I know. The daddy and son issues around here. Incredible.
Thank God someone is willing to say it. Okay. What do you want to talk about, if anything? Oh, we don't have to talk about anything. Right, we're over time. Okay.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that you really wanted to talk about?
We skipped the FTR section.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Would you like me to read the note out loud? Yeah, I'll just read that. I actually refuse to discuss this. Why are they champs? So is there anything you want to talk about there?
No, that was what I wanted to cover.
That's perfect. I'm so... thank you, Leah. I really appreciate that. The people needed to hear us say it again. When they... turn on, we tune out. Okay. Anything else?
No. What an episode.
What an
episode.
Week
and a half from the pay-per-view, and it was like, wow, these are so many matches I don't care about.
The pay-per-view.
Hey, we saw Hangman, though.
We did see Hangman.
We saw the
Birds.
And you know,
one thing I cared about.
we didn't linger for long enough on. He had a frenzied energy. He looked good. When I watched him on stage, I thought, that is a man who I hope he goes backstage, realizes he's just literally jittering with emotions and after emotions, tries to say really casually, like, I'm gonna, just going to hit the head, goes into the bathroom and cries with his head between his knees.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Whew. I mean, he just looked.
Mwah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So good. So glad he's back.
And what was the tweet what did someone tweet about Candy's body that he liked?
Oh my God, it was that. Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
It's so funny that Kenny liked it. Like, what a dweeb.
Good for him. He says, I must be allowed to acknowledge that I know my own perfection.
Now, every time he talks, I just think about him on All Access saying to Britt, welcome to my humble commode. And I'm just like, oh boy.
It was, did Meg Thee Stallion say body crazy, curvy, wavy, big titties, little waist about Kenny?
Kenny like it.
Yeah, he would.
But
like,
you know what? He does look body crazy, curvy, wavy, big titties, little body waist. Wavy. Epic blood, you know.
Bloodshed. Epic shed.
Bloodshed, tear shed. Bloodshed, tear shed. He looked amazing. Kenny's body is unparalleled. And the one thing I wish I could interview him about is sometimes, week to week, he'll either come out with these really fucked up curls, but like in a way that looks like good, where it's just like, you are so nasty. So those are the good ones. But then other weeks he'll come out and I think he kind of, like, it looks like he, like, flat iron chunks of his hair, but not all of it. I'd love to question him about what he is doing to cause these effects week to week, where it's sometimes it looks so damaged that I think, like, it wouldn't be possible to have curls next week.
Yeah.
I would love for someone to just say to Kenny, like, describe to me what you're doing with your hair. Like, what do you think your hair is? Like, describe.
Someone on Twitter, the old internet or whatever, they had like a screenshot from BTE that had like some of Kenny's toiletries on it. And it was like supermarket curl cream, like in the blue bottle. And they were like, oh, he knows about curl cream. I know. I was like, on the one hand, but on the other hand, we were just talking before this podcast about spending too much money on hair products. So.
We really like spending, as a couple of curly girls, we really like spending money on hair products. On that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us Twitter, Tumblr, at Tunnel Talk Pod. Via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe on wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.